Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Well, this is an amazing day, Resurrection Sunday. And, you know, one of the things I love is, you know, I just want you to feel free to interact a little bit tonight, to say amen, hallelujah. I don't mind. It gets me excited a little bit. So we want to really celebrate today. And I always say, if we can't celebrate on a day like today, we might as well have the pizza and go home. This is the best day of the year. To think about Jesus risen from the dead, what a remarkable feat. One of the most remarkable events in all of history. We remember even at Christmas, Jesus came as a little baby. He grew into a toddler and then into an adult. And then he would die the worst kind of death. You know, and that's the thing we remembered on Good Friday. And it was a criminal's death. 30,000 Jews died on those crosses back then. And we only remember one because he's the Son of God. And then he was buried, and then on the third day, help me out, what happened on the third day? He? All right. That was kind of not as enthusiastic as I hope. All right. So, but we've got plenty of time. He rose on the third day. And what astounds me and fascinates me is Jesus said and predicted and forecasted that this would happen, that he would do that. There's a great scene in John 2. And John 2 is a scene where Jesus comes into the temple and he's flipping over the tables. He's driving out the money changers. And the leaders of the day, they say to Jesus, by what authority are you able to do this? And prove it by giving us a miraculous sign. And Jesus says something very profound. He says, destroy this temple, which is a massive, massive temple. Destroy this temple and I will raise it on the third day. And he was talking about himself, but the people, they didn't get it. They didn't understand. But Jesus said, I have the power to lay down my life and to take it up again. And we serve a powerful Lord, don't we? More alive than ever, and he's coming back soon. And he's coming back soon, and because of that, we've got to be ready. The call is urgent. The call is twofold as I see it, is to believe that he is the Son of God and then to tell others about this good news of the resurrection of Jesus. You know, there are many who don't believe. I came across this story this week by P.L. Tan, and it's an amazing story. And it's a certain countess who lived about 100 years ago was a noted unbeliever and was especially opposed to the doctrine of the resurrection. She was about 30 when she died, and she gave orders that this was to happen on her grave, that her grave should be covered with a slab of granite, massive slab, that around it should be placed square blocks of stone, and that the corners should be fastened each to the other and to the granite slab by heavy iron clamps. And upon this, the covering, the inscription was placed, this burial place, purchased for all eternity, must never be opened. This is where I lay. And she did all that was humanly possible to prevent any change in that grave when she was laid to rest. And I think the Lord took the challenge because a life found a way. A little birch tree seed began to sprout and slowly forced its way between the iron clamps, which were then torn, the granite lid was raised and is now resting upon the trunk of a huge flourishing birch tree. Amazing story, isn't it? And just as the granite lid was raised by the life-giving tree, no stone could ever keep Jesus in the grave. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Not even death could keep the Son of God in the grave. And I think about this story of people who are so scared of death and they don't believe in God, and it's really sad. There is going to come a time, friends. John 5:28 says and declares that the time is coming where the dead in their graves will hear the voice of God's Son. They will hear it, and each will rise again. And it's quite graphic, the scripture in John 5, and talks about the fact that each of us will rise wherever we're at with the Lord Jesus to meet him and to give an account of our life. And that's going to be something to behold when that time comes. So this morning, no, what is it? It's evening. Gosh, it's been a long weekend already. I want to share what I think is just one of those amazing stories of the New Testament, Mark 16. I think if you've heard this scripture many times, I just want to ask you to ask the Lord, Lord, would you make it a fresh reading for me tonight? Would you open my heart to just receive afresh what you want to say to me through this scripture? And it starts out this way, Mark 16, verse 1. A Saturday evening when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so that they could anoint Jesus' body. They went out to the supermarket, this is what Mark recalls, so that they could buy spices to anoint Jesus' body. I've always thought about this as a kind of, why would Mark record that in the scripture? Because we've talked about the cross, we've talked about his burial, and here we are getting to the main event. And yet Mark pauses in the scripture. He wants to talk about Saturday night. He wants to talk about these burial spices that these women are buying. And I think there's a good reason for that. He wants to underline that these women, and everyone else for that matter, knew Jesus was dead in the grave. From their perspective, there was no coming back from that. And they were without hope. Just over 24 hours earlier, they witnessed the most horrific death that anyone could go through. Verse 40, chapter 15 of Mark. Some women were there watching from a distance, Jesus dying on the cross, including Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Younger and Joseph, and Salome. They'd been followers of Jesus and had cared for him while he was in Galilee. They also witnessed his burial. Verse 46, they rolled a stone in front of the entrance of the tomb, and Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where Jesus' body was laid. And they would become the first witnesses to the resurrection. Now, here we see that they saw Jesus die, they saw where he was buried, and that's a really important part of the gospel, and they saw the empty tomb, as we will read in a moment. And every author records not only the cross and the resurrection, but they record the burial. And the reason being is because there were some rumours going away that the disciples had stolen the body. And so this became a very profound part of the gospel, the actual burial. And so that's why Mark records it here. Are you still with me tonight? All right, that's good. Let's read on. Verse 2. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb, and on the way they were asking each other, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled aside. Hallelujah. Now Mark says, he doesn't say who rolled it away, but we know from the other Gospels that this was a supernatural act of God. When they entered the tomb, verse 5, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and the women were shocked. Luke's gospel records two angels. This one only records one. Why the discrepancy between the gospels? Well, the reason for that is Mark is only writing about the one who speaks in this case. But this is an angelic ambassador for God, and the women were completely shocked. Have you ever met an angel? Ever? I know some people who have and have recounted that experience to me, and most of the time they've said it's an overwhelming experience. Huge, mighty beings of God. And it's not out of the realm of biblical narrative, because we know in the Old Testament that many had received angelic visions. Actually, Mary, even Joseph, in a dream and so on. So it's a natural response, and it's a reminder that God is always working in ways we cannot see. Here's verse 6, what the angelic messenger shares. The angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Don't be alarmed. Don't fear, because God is always in control." And notice that term there, Jesus of Nazareth. It was a term that was given to Jesus, who is both the Son of God and human at the same time. But this kind of term, Jesus of Nazareth, had this idea of an earthly term to kind of share that this was a full bodily resurrection. This would become an asset and a problem in the church in some ways, because they had to refute doctrine that was saying Jesus didn't rise full bodily, but he did, and so on. Verse 7, "Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as you told, just as he told you before he died." And verse 8, "The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, yet full of joy," as Matthew records. "And they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened." Not every day you get to meet an angel, and it's not every day you see someone rise from the dead. Very natural response. However, we do know from the other passages, they go to share with the disciples. Peter and John run to the tomb and they find just as they have shared. There's a very important phrase I want us just to latch on to in verse 7. If we can go back, Mark, there, verse 7. Or was it verse 8? Might have been verse 8. Yeah. Okay, verse 6. This is the suspense. Okay, I'm just going to read it from my pad here. There's a phrase there that the angel says, and he says, first instruction is to see for yourself. Do you notice that? See for yourself where Jesus was laid. And he's not there anymore. And that is to believe. And then to tell others about his resurrection. And I think for us, for those who believe, we need to be prepared to tell others about the resurrection of Jesus, the greatest hope. But some here tonight are still searching. And that's great that you're here. And maybe those even listening online are searching. And the instruction from the angel, and actually from Jesus himself a little bit later, is to see for yourself, which means to examine the evidence. Now, let me first speak to those who believe that we're prepared to tell others about the resurrection of Jesus. This is a weekend of thanksgiving and celebration. You agree? This is a weekend to celebrate like no other weekend and to give praise to God. And to ask God to pray, "Lord, give me courage to tell others about the resurrection of Jesus." I don't know about you, but more and more I need courage to tell others about Jesus. Particularly in an environment like we live in Australia, we need courage. But we can pray for that. Acts 4 declares that the church prayed, "Give us boldness to share your word and stretch out your hand to perform signs and wonders." Now you just ask the Lord to pray, to give you courage. And then I think it's as simple as saying, "I'll have some time with someone to share this good news." Or just to build relationship, coffee, alpha, even invite them to church. And I want to encourage us to do that. And then this aspect of see for yourself, examine the evidence. I want to talk about that for just a moment. And I want to declare a couple of things. Is that We see for yourself to do it while you're still alive here on this earth. Because this is the chance we get. And to get ready now, because one day all of us will hear the voice of Jesus. Well, even while we're still alive or in our graves, when Jesus comes back, we will hear his voice. Now, for those who believe, that's going to be a sweet, sweet time. And for those, you have the opportunity now to see for yourself. And if you've never had a chance to accept this beautiful gift of eternal life, I'm going to just want to outline what the gospel is tonight. I want to share it very convincingly, hopefully, and for you to consider these things. The gospel is 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. And Paul says, this is the good news that saves you. Just tell someone, this is good news. Just someone next to you, this is good news. Have you ever wondered why it's good news and not just news? Or, you know, like every time I watch the news, it's bad news on TV. Why is it good news? This is the thing. I was talking to someone the other day and they said to me, God will just accept me when I get into heaven because I'm a pretty good person. I said, actually, you are a pretty good person. He said, oh, thanks for that. And I said, well, the problem with that is you're equating your own goodness with how good God is. You reckon you're pretty good with God on his part. I said, no, I wouldn't go that far to say I'm that good. And I said, if you want to attain the standards of God, what you have to do is you've got to jump from this earth and jump into an aeroplane while it's moving from the earth. He said, that's impossible. And I said, exactly. No one can reach the standards of God. This is why it's good news, is that because Jesus has made a way. He's made a way in the impossibility of us to meet the standards of God by dying on the cross for our sins and rising from the dead on the third day. All you have to do is accept that. And if you're like me, all my life I've had to measure up to something or to someone or to an expectation. The only measure that God uses is what you do with Jesus. Amen? And it's the good news. Paul goes on to say, Jesus died for our sins. Just think about that for a moment. I've got a pretty ugly past. Some of us here also have a pretty challenging past. But Christ died for all of it. Past sin. He's died for our sin today, present. He's died for all of our future sins. Hallelujah. He's died past, present, future to secure our salvation. He was buried. He was dead in the grave. But on the third day, he rose again according to the scriptures. This is the wonderful news, friends. This is the good news of Jesus. Now, that's what God has done on one hand. That's always how I kind of say it, because on this side, this is the side of the equation. But to accept the gift of eternal life, you're here tonight. You're hearing the gospel. You're hearing this is what it means to follow Jesus. Well, there's a few other things we've got to do as well. We've got to believe. What does it mean to believe? John 3 16 and 17. You know, verse 17 is very interesting in the Gospel of John. It says that Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but to save it through him. How beautiful is that? And God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever accepts and believes him will have eternal life. You've got to believe, which means to put your full trust. I remember I was ministering to this young Aboriginal man and he was having some spiritual challenges. And I'll never forget the day, and I just sensed something by the Holy Spirit. And he said, yeah, I believe. I said, no, you don't. I said, you're dealing with some spiritual forces here that are very challenging. You can't fake it. And he says, I know. That's what he said, I don't believe. And then about 5 or 10 minutes later, he gets up onto his feet like this. I'll never forget it. And he says, I believe with every bit of my being. And that's what he said. How good is that? How wonderful is that? Every bit of his, but I was actually convinced that was true in that moment. And he was released, actually. I said, though, you have to repent, which means really to change your life. Repentance is this idea that, you know, this is my life. I'm going to take my life this way in the way that I want it to go. And I'm going to drive that way, that God's that way. And you've got to say, no, that life is gone. The new life has come. And I'm going to follow God's way. That's repentance. That's a change. That's what they call a 180 degree. To be sold on Jesus like that. And then confess that he is Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10 declares, love these scriptures, if we confess with our mouths Jesus is Lord, just tell someone next to you, Jesus is Lord, if you're able. If we confess means to openly declare Jesus is Lord, and it's by believing in my heart that he was raised from the dead, you will be saved. For it's by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and by confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. You know, I was talking to this fella in a cafe, going through these things, and he says, oh, it sounds too good to be true. I said, it probably is, actually. And we got to this confession part, and I said to him, hey, you reckon you could declare right now Jesus is your Lord? And he's thinking about it, and he said, yeah, actually, I probably could do that. I said, well, tell me. Tell me right now. And he says, in front of everyone, I said, yeah, do it. I don't want to force you to do it, but if you want to do it, just do it. And he said, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord. And I'll never forget his reaction. He looks around. He looks around in the cafe and he's like this. And I said, are you okay? And he said, something happened when I declared Jesus is my Lord in my heart. I thought someone was standing behind me. So then I went to the actual half of that verse and I said, do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus? And it astounded me. He said, I absolutely do, is what he said. I said, that's the Holy Spirit. To be saved, you've got to be born again. You need the Holy Spirit to come in to confirm those things. You can only say Jesus is Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can only believe the resurrection, not with your mind and in your heart, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit. And then the rest is easy. It's baptism after that. Into the water, out of the water. But you're committing to a new life in Jesus. And if you want to make that decision tonight, if you're in this search, I want to encourage you to make the best decision you'll ever make is to follow Jesus in this way. Mel and I were reflecting, as we do on occasion. We've been in ministry for about maybe 20 years, 22 years or so. And we've done a number of hospital visits over that time. And we've seen the hope the resurrection makes in those who believe and those that they don't. And I was journeying with this family. His name was Bill. The wife had two children and so on. And Bill was kind of like this countess in the early story that I shared. And Bill just was not interested at all. And he says, this resurrection is a figment of your own imagination. Well, we can continue to build that relationship with Bill. I'll never forget the day when I got a call from the wife to say that Bill had suffered a catastrophic brain aneurysm. And would I come into the hospital and just pray with him? And I said, of course. And we were praying by his bedside. There was nothing on the brain monitor. We wanted to choose to believe that he could hear us and all of that. And we began to pray, Bill, you need to reach out to Jesus. You need to have this. Now, we don't ever know, and we won't know this side of eternity if Bill made that decision. We don't know. But all I remember was having to do the funeral was very sad. It was devastating. Two young children, And it was a funeral without hope. But flip the side of the coin, when a believer dies, the difference. And I've shared this story before, but it's a great story because it's part of our story here at Karawara, that our Aunt Agnes, many, many years ago, when she was 94, suffered the same, a catastrophic brain bleed. And she was 94. The difference was she believed totally in the resurrection of Jesus. And she got baptized when she was 87. Imagine that, 87, one of our first baptisms here, actually. Remember that? I suggest don't leave it that long if you're thinking about it, all right? And I'll never forget what she said in those final sort of hours before that bleed happened. She said, "I know where I'm going. I know who I am. I am a daughter of the Most High. I know and I believe in His resurrection, and I'm looking forward to meeting Jesus very shortly." It was very special. We did the funeral. It was a beautiful, beautiful funeral. Very tough in some respects because of our family member. But we knew Aunt Agnes was with the Lord. And it was a special, special time. That's the difference, isn't it? The resurrection of Jesus makes in a believer's life, in a person's life. And even in the testimony of their death. So friends, tonight, ask Jesus to help you to be prepared to tell others about the resurrection of Jesus. And if you're in a space where you're searching, it's not me saying this. It's the angel. It's Jesus Himself. See for yourself. Examine the evidence. Let's pray together. I'm going to get the team to share. And can we stand? And just where you are tonight, I just want you to begin to give thanks to the Lord. Just speak a word of blessing back to the Lord to thank Him for all that He's done. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for rising from the dead for me. And again tonight, Lord, thank You for sending Your Holy Spirit to fill us to full measure and to confirm that these things are true. And tonight, if you're in a place where you're searching or you're trying to discover who Jesus is, I just want to encourage you just to stay on the path, stay on the journey to examine the evidence, to see for yourself. And maybe what you could do tonight is you could ask God to reveal Himself to you. I believe God actually delights in doing that. And so, Father, we give You the praise, the honour. Thank You again for sending Your Son. Glorify Your name in Jesus' name. And we all said, Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Karawara message. Have a blessed week.